I'd like to introduce Betty. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Betty.
Betty.
A very grateful member of Al-Anon. It has saved my life and my sanity. My son was also asked to speak tonight, but he has a three-year-old daughter, too, who hadn't had her dinner yet. So when we found out it wasn't going to be at the church, he decided to take her home and get dinner. And I called Jack, and he said, yes, we still want you to come. So I said, okay, I'm a little afraid to drive at night because my night driving is not so good. But he said, it's freeway all the way. So here I am. And thank you so much. This is such an honor, especially for the men's stag. I have been coming to this men's stag for years and years and years, ever since they were first in the other building before they tore it down and built the new parts of the church, and always felt welcome. You know, at Christmas time they were open, Thanksgiving and things like that, and it was really a blessing to some of us in Al-Anon who needed a place to go at that time. So I am very grateful and feel honored to be able to speak to you this evening. My talk is about the gifts of the program. And so as you see here, I have two big bags of gifts. And I hope I can share them with you. You know, I came from an average, normal, dysfunctional family. And it wasn't alcoholism in my family at the time, but my father was a rageaholic. But I loved him dearly because he was the only father in the neighborhood who took all of his kids on hikes up in Griffith Park Hills and up in the hills above our house in Burbank and to the museums and to the band concerts and all the places that he thought were important for us to experience at the time. He was really a very loving, caring father. So I don't have any regrets about my childhood. It was abusive, but at the time I didn't know it because it seemed like everyone was doing that, although he was the father that the bully up the street said that he was afraid of my father, and he wasn't afraid of anyone else. My father used to whistle for us to come home, and he would step out on the porch and, you know, put his fingers in and whistle for us, and everybody would yell, hey, Jerry and Ben, come on, your father wants you to come home. They knew that it was important. When my father said, leap, we were like frogs and we leapt. But, as I said, he was a very loving father at the same time, so I didn't realize it was abuse. When I spoke out or said something that he didn't like, he would haul off and backhand us, you know, and I'd get a bloody nose, but that was par for the course. I knew it was going to happen. It just had to be very well worth speaking out at the time. So that was much like growing up in an alcoholic family. You have some of the same disease symptoms. But I want to talk today about the gifts of this program because it has been just a fantastic program for me to live my life the way I want to live it today. My husband was an alcoholic, but in the 15 years of marriage, I didn't know what alcoholism was, so I didn't know he was an alcoholic. I had no idea what it was all about. I never saw him drunk, or he was never abusive. In fact, he gave us everything that money could buy, but not his time and himself, which is what we needed, especially the children. But when my children came along, of course, they both had the addictive genes. One is an alcoholic and one is an addict. But thank God, today they are both sober. And I praise God for that. That is such a blessing because I went through 30 years of my son being out on the streets, and sometimes I didn't know if he was dead or alive or where he was. But I would keep in contact with him by cell phone or something, just call him and say, I love you and I'm praying for you. And that's all I had. So it was a traumatic time, those 30 years. But thank God I finally got into Al-Anon. He invited me when he first came into AA or CA was what his, for Cocaine Anonymous was his drug of choice. And when he invited me, I was happy to come to a meeting. I didn't know what it was all about, but I was delighted to learn more about alcoholism. I was told to learn all I could about it. And so at the college where I was teaching, they had an alcohol and drug program, so I enrolled in it right away. I didn't want the credential. I was already a counselor, but I wanted to have the knowledge. I wanted to know all about it because it was a baffling disease to me. And so I took the courses, all the courses I could, and bought every single book that the college had on alcohol and drugs and read every single one of them before I left that summer because I was so eager to learn more about this program. But where I learned most of it was by going to AA and CA meetings and hearing their speakers speak, because although I had the head knowledge, I didn't have it in my heart. I didn't really know what detached with love was. I loved my kids to death. In fact, I was the queen of enablers. I have a crown to prove it. I keep this as a reminder that I was the queen of enablers. I did everything on that do and don't list, or on the don't list. And I could add to it by pages. You know, they didn't have to ask me for money. I was there giving it out freely because I thought that I could help them become sober, become sane again, to, you know, live a normal life, what my illusion of what life would be. And today I know that that was just an illusion and that I can face reality today, and it's okay because I have the tools of the program to face it with. However, this crown I keep as a reminder that I never want to go back there. This crown is far too heavy to wear anymore, and I don't ever want to be that queen of enabler again. I have learned what enabling is, that it's doing for others what they're capable of doing for themselves, that I was taking away the dignity of my son by doing for him what he could do if I allowed him to. I was providing him with money and cars. You know, he could manipulate, you know, what con artists they are. They are the best. And no matter what it was he needed, I would provide it, because if he needed a car so he could get a job, then I'd buy the car. If they needed all of his tickets paid and everything so that he wouldn't be in jail, he could work, I provided that. I did everything that is on that don't list that I finally, after a very expensive lesson, I've spent hundreds of thousands of dollars, everything I ever earned, on my children trying to save them. And today, thank God, I know that that cannot be done, that I cannot control someone else. I can only control myself. I can only change myself. And by that change, everything else changes. And I have found that out through some very valuable lessons. You know, I love to work in my garden. That's my therapy. I can get out there. When my child was using, I would go out in the garden and just beat the devil out of all those plants, take everything out of, mulch everything to pieces, because that's where I got my therapy. That's where I prayed to, you know, asking for all the things I thought that would get him sober. Today I know different. But I used to use Miracle-Gro. And today I know that Miracle-Gro is, that's what God does. If we are willing to work the steps and become the person what we are supposed to be, that I am supposed to be, that he will do the rest, that he works the miracles. And so I keep this as a reminder. As I grow in Al-Anon, God performs miracles in my life. And if you are feeling really down, and this is a quote, because you are walling in a lot of shit, remember, that's why it's a quote. It's down in the valley so low, where all the beautiful flowers grow. And that's because they have the miracle grow. It's joy, peace, serenity of the program. This says satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Or you get your misery back. If you work the program, you will find peace and serenity, as I have found in my life. And if not, you know, Al-Anon will gladly refund your misery. When I think I am wallowing in shit, then I just know it's an opportunity to help me grow. Are there any newcomers in here today? Well, I will give you these. This is lavender to give you peace and serenity. It's supposed to calm you. You can give it to your wife if you need to. you know, I keep this little shovel as a reminder. I remember Jose, some of you know, said one time that if you find yourself in a deep, dark hole, stop digging. And so I keep this as a reminder to stop digging, because I know that if I'm in that deep, dark hole, that I have provided that hole myself. I have dug it for myself, and that I have the tools to get out of it if I choose to. I keep a God box to so that I can let go and let God. And in it, I have all of my jewels. These are all the members of my family, and they're all addicts and alcoholics. My husband died of alcoholism. My son is an addict. My daughter is an alcoholic. But thank God today they are sober. So I keep this to remind me that they are still my jewels, that I know that God can take care of them much better than I can. They were his children before they were mine, and my husband too. I keep this as a reminder that I need to remember that I'm only a member of the posse. I'm not the sheriff. This is a sheriff's badge to remind me of that. Because we don't have any leaders in this program. We are all equals. And that our leaders are but trusted servants. Or, as some people say, twisted servants. I borrowed this little car from my granddaughter. It's a racing car, and it's to remind me that gossip runs down more people than cars, that there is no place in this program for gossip, that we are here to better ourselves and not to talk about the alcoholic or the addict or the others in our lives, but to concentrate and focus on ourselves. That's the only person we can change. And when we change ourselves, the whole world changes around us. Super glue I keep as a reminder of what sponsoring is all about. I sponsor about 47 girls in my program and one man. And it reminds me that bonding is the formation of a close personal relationship. And that's what I have with my sponsees today. It's such a marvelous relationship. We have so much fun. I won't sponsor anyone who won't work the steps, because I think that's the healing part of the program. And because I have so many that I can't sponsor each one of them the way I'd like to, except that I hold a 12-step meeting at my house every Tuesday morning, and we work the steps together. Each one works the steps on their own time and speed and way they want to. But they come together at my house and share their steps with others. And then everyone can offer suggestions or, you know, speak about whatever it is that they need. That is a priceless gift. We also do other things socially. You know, we go to the movies together. We go out to lunch and dinner and to teas and things. It's really a marvelous, marvelous relationship that I couldn't have found any other way. I keep this little bunny with the two little pennies glued to its ears to remind me not to hop in with my 2 cents worth. That's the most difficult thing that I have to do today, is to not hop in and give my son advice. My son is out of a job. He's an electrician, but he hasn't had a job for 2 years, a permanent job. He goes every day looking for work or to work, doing whatever he can. But he hasn't had a permanent job for 2 years, so he lives with me with his 3-year-old daughter. Now, he was asked to be the 10-minute speaker before I tonight, and he did come home, showered, changed, and got the baby ready and everything to go to the meeting. But when we found out it wasn't there, he decided to take her home and give her dinner because she was eating cheese out of a package just so we could get to the meeting. So he has taken full responsibility for her. He has complete custody of her. And he dresses her, feeds her, clothes her, does everything for her. I don't have to do anything. Thank goodness. The only thing I do is send her to nursery school during the day because he has to go to work or look for work, and I can't take a three-year-old anymore. I helped raise my daughter's children, and that was wonderful. I loved it. That was the most exciting. I think I enjoyed that even more than raising my own, but I loved being a mother. That was the highlight of my life. That's, I think, what I always wanted to be. And it was a great joy, but I had no idea what was in tail for me. I keep, you know, I like to knit a lot. And but I know that you shouldn't be knitting at meetings because it takes the focus away from the meeting. Anything distracting, knitting, cell phones, computers, or anything like that, you can't keep your focus on the meeting and what you're to learn there. So I know that when I suppress anger, though, I give it room to fester in my heart and mind, and it unravels my recovery. That is to help remind me. I keep these Q-tips as a reminder and give one to each one of my sponsees to remind them to quit taking it personally. That helps me to keep the focus on myself, and that no matter what someone else says or does to me, doesn't mean it's the truth. I have to check for myself to see if I am living the life that I want to live, becoming the person I want to be today, and then it doesn't matter if someone else has a problem or what they say. What other people say or do reflects on them. I don't take it personally, but what I say or do reflects on me. Most of these little sayings that I have come from the books of Odette, One Day at a Time, Hope for Today, and Courage to Change, which I read every single morning before I start my day. I get up in the morning and go out into the breakfast room where I have my computer and things and read these books every single day so that I can get centered before I start my day, before the rest of them get up in the morning. I keep this little reminder, you know, we have a saying, keep it simple. I remember in a friend of mine was teaching grade school, and she was teaching a science lesson to her class, and they were about third grade, I guess. And so she brought a big bottle of buttons to school, and she spread them out on the table, and she said, now this is a lesson in grouping things, and we will see what you can. You take these and group them into your own groups, and then we'll talk about them. So one little boy grouped his into shapes, and another grouped his into different colors, and another one grouped his into sizes. And she came to Johnny, and Johnny had all a mishmash of mixture of all kinds of buttons. And she said, Johnny, what is your criteria for your grouping? And he said, simple. Some I like, some I don't. And so it reminds me to keep my program simple, that I don't have to make it complicated. This is a very important, I cut this right out of my rug, my carpet, because it reminds me that in the do's and don'ts, you know, the last one says, don't be a doormat. Well, I wasn't just a doormat, I was wall-to-wall carpeting, and I never want to go back to that again. This reminds me, I have to take pills every day for my high blood pressure and for thyroid. But it reminds me that I must read the literature every single day. Not just those three books, but all of it. I buy every new book that comes out and read it because I learn so much from it. And when I read those three books, I've read them over and over again for 20 years. And I still get something new out of them. I still learn something from them every single day. God speaks to me in that way. So I have learned that, you know, reading the literature, I always recommend, even if it's boring, because it's cheaper than sleeping pills. this little stone is a reminder that to be humble, to keep from stumbling. If I stumble, though, it's okay because I'm propelled forward. You know, every mistake I made, and I've made a lot of them, I am still propelled forward because I can learn from my mistakes, and then it's not a failure. There are no failures, and there's no place for blame in this program. I take responsibility for everything that happens to me because I know that I can be the change that I wish to be. Whatever, I think it was Gandhi that said, we must be the change that we wish to make. And I have found that no matter what goes on in my life, I can change by my perception of how I react and how I see that situation. It's all up to me. So I know that God can turn these stumbling blocks into stepping stones for me. I also like the, I will be okay if I remain optimistic and kind. That to me is, no matter what I say or do, I'm always telling my sponsees, they say, well, can I say this to him? I really feel like I need to say this to my husband or son or something. And I say, you can say anything. It only depends on the way you say it. If you say it with love and with kindness, then it doesn't matter what you say. I can say how I feel by using I messages. I feel this way when this happens, not when you do it to me. And this is what I need. And then I can celebrate the no's. If they say no, they can't meet my needs. Because then I know they are taking care of themselves. And that's what all of us need to do. That's what we learn in this program of Al-Anon, to take good, loving care of ourselves first. And then the rest of the things usually fall into place. I also remember that, you know, I am not the judge. Some of you old-timers remember that program, Here Come the Judge. And it teaches me not to judge anything or anybody, right or wrong, good or bad, because that just gets me into trouble. I also know that I don't want to have resentments, because that takes me down. And in Courage to Change, it says, you know, we can't hold a man down without staying down with him. And resentments and blame have no part in this program. I think of Johnny, who came running up to his mother and said, Mother, do you know that Sally just broke your bedroom window? And she said, oh my, how did that happen? And he said, well, I threw a shoe at her and she ducked. And that's what blame is, trying to put the focus on someone else so that we don't have to look at our part in it. And in Al-Anon, it teaches us that we have a part in everything, that we need to look at that only. Let's see if I... this little basket reminds me that I don't need to let my worries get the best of me, that I can remember that Moses started out as a basket case. my sponsor was going to be here tonight, and he couldn't make it because they were black at the meeting, and so he went down to buy candles, and then it got later and later, and he found out that it was here, and he was already in Monrovia. But he reminds me that a friend or a sponsor is a friend, that no matter if you're cracked, he still thinks you're a good egg, and that blessed are the cracked because they let in the light. Oh, thank you. Let's see. This little angel reminds me that no matter what happens in my life, that God will walk with me through it. I used to pray, God, please, I can take anything. I've had some real tragedies, some traumatic experiences in my life, and I can take anything, but please, don't take one of my children. And he showed me that I could walk through that too. I had a granddaughter that I helped raise, and she was killed in an auto accident not too long ago, but God showed me that he could get me through that too, and that he would perform the miracles. And I have been blessed with the happy memories. I have another sponsee who lost her son last year, and I remember at the memorial, she said, memories are the motion that dances in our hearts. And I believe that today. I just try to concentrate not on, you know, why isn't she here today, and I would like to see her graduate and marry and have children and so forth. I concentrate on the years that I did have with her. I had 18 beautiful years with her. And I remember the times in the kitchen when we used to bake cookies, and I baked 50 or 60 dozen at Christmas time to give away to people who were of service to us, or family and friends. And she used to play that we owned a bakery, and that these were our orders coming in, and we had to package them and wrap them and give them. And I still have those memories. Those are happy memories today. And while I'm baking cookies now, I have those happy memories to rely on. I also see other blessings. My daughter donated her organs to many different families. There was one mother who is alive today for her family and for her children because of my granddaughter's organs, and another man, an Indian, who is alive today and keeps a scrapbook of her pictures and her memory. They count her as part of their family because he is alive today because of her donation. I think of the girl who was driving the car that when the accident happened, and she is sober today, living a beautiful life, has a child of her own. And I remember that when she was in the hospital, my granddaughter was in a coma for a while before she passed away. And the girl who was driving was, she broke her hips and her jaw and everything and had it all wired up, and she was in a coma for a short time. And my daughter had the graciousness to go to her every day and tell her that we didn't hold anything against her because she was the driver. They were both had drugs in their bodies. And that we would be there for her because her mother couldn't be. Her mother was an addict and came once to the hospital, and that was it. So we have been her parents since then, her support and her love. And thank God today she is living a very productive life. So this goes to prove to me that no matter what I have to go through, that God will see me through it, that he will be there, and he will turn every tragedy into a miracle. Another tragedy that happened to me at one time was years ago. I was involved in a very brutal and vicious rape in which I was strangled and suffocated, and still today, I have a hard time just breathing to talk about it. But it has been turned into a blessing, too. Because years later, when I was able to take the counseling and things for the LA Commission of Assault Against Women and Children, I could be there then for others who had gone through this and survived it. I could be a counselor for them when they would call on the phone when there was no one else to call, to be an advocate for them when they had to go to the hospital and be with them while they went through the examination and the police interrogation and the social workers and things. And I could stay with them and counsel them until they got all the help that they needed to get through that tragedy. I was also fortunate enough to be in a documentary that spoke to many hundreds of people all over the world. I also was a speaker for the LA Commission of Assault Against Women and Children after a while. And so reaching out to so many other people, I can see today why that tragedy had to happen to me. Everything that has come about in my life that I thought was so traumatic at the time has been turned into some kind of a blessing. And I think that if we all look at that, that we can find a blessing in everything that happens to us. I think God wants the best for us in our lives, and that he is there for us to help us to get the best that we can be and to have a good, productive life. He certainly has done that for me. I keep this little package of mainly food and things that remind me what I need today. This fork, every time I eat, I can remember that to keep my words soft and tender, because I may have to eat them someday. This bottle of Scope reminds me that that some people come to the fountain of knowledge to learn, and others come just to gargle. And that's what I tell my sponsees, you know, if they want to come, if they want me to sponsor them, they'll have to work the steps and not just go to meetings. You know, like there's a saying about if you you can go to meetings, but you only get so much out of it. But if you work the steps, have a sponsor and work the steps, that's the healing part of the program, and you will grow by working the steps. These raisins remind me, as I told you, I came from an abusive home. But this reminds me that I can accept others as they are and love them for who they are, knowing that they are doing the best they can. My mother and father did the best they could, although they made many mistakes, and I may have suffered for it at the time. Today I'm an adult, and I can change all of that today myself. I don't have to blame anyone else for where I am today. I'm an adult, and I can be whoever I want to be today. So these raisins remind me to rise above my raisin. Salt, I think, in the Courage to Change, it says someone can throw salt at you and you will not be harmed unless you have open wounds. And we can solve those too. I also, this little teapot reminds me, I love to have tea in the afternoon. And it reminds me that no matter how, here's my little tea bag, I don't know how strong I am until I get put into hot water. And sometimes that's why we have to experience the things we do to see if we really can stand up to it. You know, I think I'm doing just great until a challenge comes along, and then I know that I have to work my steps and be the person that I want to be in order to get through whatever challenge it is that he set before me. Nuts. I love to snack on nuts. And it reminds me that nuts, not using the steps. I think we have to use them in order to gain where we want to be. Also, it reminds me that if I'm on the wrong path, the cycle path, that God allows me U-turns. I keep this little bell. I wish I had the one that the Saturday meeting has to remind my sponsees that, you know, if you're not going to work the steps, if you can't be a good example, at least be a loud warning. It's like the mechanic who said to the woman, I couldn't fix your brakes, so I made your horn louder. And this little gift box reminds me that the gifts of the program are mine. They are offered to me as a gift, and all I have to do is be willing to, in the light of my situation, to go to gratitude. And I know that gratitude is my answer. When I wake up in the middle of the night with fear and worry, I can go to gratitude and go right back to sleep. That for every situation that seems to be horrendous, that I worry or fear, that if I change that and go to the gratitude, you know, I think of when we're in traffic and everybody is bottled up and you get irritated because you want to get to where you're going. And I think of all the people in this world who don't have the privilege of driving. When I was in South Africa, driving along the streets, it seemed like everyone there was walking because they didn't have cars or transportation. And yet they had a smile on their face, and they always looked happy and serene and always gave you a wave. So I know that those things, that I can always be thankful. If I see a gray hair, which I color up, I don't have to worry. I just think of the cancer patients who would give anything to have hair. when someone makes a slight remark and I'm hurt by it, I think things could be worse. I could be that person. And I thank God that He has given me the grace to be the person I want to be today by working the tools of the program. I love to burn candles in my house, too. And this candle reminds me that you don't dim another candle by lighting another candle. It only gives you more light. And that if you carry your lantern with you, you need never fear the darkness. And I know that the darkness always comes just before the dawn. So that there is no situation so bad that it won't change. And in my experience, it has always changed for the better because I am looking for the positive in my life. I borrowed this little sailboat from my granddaughter because it reminds me that you can't control the wind, but you can adjust the sails. And that is what determines how you will go. You know, if you're on the cycle path, as I was for so long, God allows U-turns. You can change the direction. And if you don't change the direction, you're liable to get where you're going. The cycle path. This is my layaway plan. You know, I said I had spent thousands of hundreds of dollars because I didn't check with my sponsor or my lawyer before I bought a business for one of my, a promoter that helps me to remember this program. I bought a business, and of course it went belly up because she's an alcoholic, and I didn't know that she was practicing at that time. So I lost it, my whole life savings. But it was a valuable lesson to me, and I don't regret that today. I don't blame anybody for it except myself. I didn't speak to my sponsor or my lawyer before I went into this business. But today I know that I can use the layaway plan, that I can stop and think about what I'm going to do before I make a decision. And I can call my sponsor and talk to them about it. So before I buy into a situation today, I use this layaway plan. Oops. In Hope for Today, one morning we were reading that. My roommate said to me, "Oh, this is a good one, Betty," and she read it out loud to me. This is a mirror, of course. It's, you know, in your cars you have a mirror to look back to see where you've gone. And in the book, it's Terry Humfield says, "Don't look back. We aren't going that way." And it reminds me that I don't have to look back to the past. Whatever has happened in the past, I cannot change. But I can change today and where I'm headed today. I can make a better future for myself, even if I didn't have a better past. And it's all up to me. That is so valuable to me. I know that yesterday is just a canceled check. Tomorrow is a promissory note, and my promissory note says, "Bank of Betty Katie," that's who I was, "a volunteer chief loan officer paid to the enabler, the date any time of day or night, signed by me, but today is cash used for spending," and that's what I can do. That's all I have today is cash. I only have today. That's all I have. If I'm thinking about yesterday or about the future, then I'm missing out on what's going on today. And that's all that I can work with. I also have a gift certificate. And my gift certificate is an Al-Anon, my gift certificate to life. And it's my Al-Anon lifetime membership. Because no matter what happens to my addicts, alcoholics today in my life, I will stay in this program the rest of my life because it has done so much for me. It is my lifetime organization. My little bee reminds me, I had a bumblebee, a great big bumblebee, but it was so small. When I found this in the store, I decided that was my good reminder that Jonathan Swift said in one of our little books, that you must not turn into bees who kill themselves by stinging others. And I know today that it doesn't matter. You know, I had a resentment for a while against a man who I sold a condo I had up in Mammoth 5 years ago. And ever since that time, Edison has been billing me, and that came about at the time when my granddaughter passed away, and I was back in Idaho trying to get my daughter established in a new home, and so I didn't notice the bills coming in, but I noted, I always have my bills automatically paid, so they were taken care of. Unbeknown to me, they were billing me for this man, bills that I had sold the condo to, and I'm sure he knew it. So I really had some resentments against him for allowing this to go on, and I was paying for it, you know, thousands of dollars. And I had to let go of that because I know that those resentments will only hold me down. I believe that the world turns around. I believe in karma, that no matter what happens, I don't have to see the results of it. He doesn't have to pay me back that money. I know that I will be paid back, even though I have already paid his bills and there's no way of getting them back. The time limit has gone by. But I know that I will be paid back. And it may not be in monetary value, but I know that in being of service, that I have been paid back 10 times to the service that I give. I used to want to be of service in rehabs because I felt so sorry for those, you know, as we're enablers, I felt so sorry for the patients in the rehabs. And so I wanted to be of service to them. And I found out that by doing so, I volunteered at a rehab in Pasadena for over 10 years and learned a great deal there because I also got the benefit of hearing a doctor who is a specialist in addiction explain what addiction is, that it is a chemical change in the brain, that it actually changes the chemistry of the brain. And that's why they recommend that they get a sponsor, because their thinking is stinking thinking. And that with the sponsor's help, they can run it by their sponsor and say, you know, do you think this is a good idea? And they'll say, well, maybe we better try some other options, because they've been there, done that, and they know that their stinking thinking lasts for 1 or 2 years. And it's the same for us in Al-Anon. We need a sponsor to run by things because our thinking is stinking as well. My instructor in the college, when I was taking the courses on alcohol and drugs, said we are sicker than they are because they anesthetize themselves with drugs, but we take on their pain and our pain too. So we are twice as sick. And I do believe that today. I guess I have another. No, that's about all I brought with me today anyway. But I also wanted to share with you what this addictionologist just told me, that when they start taking drugs, that there was an experiment. I used to be a science teacher, and so this meant a lot to me. I knew they were sick people, that they weren't mean people trying to do bad things to us, that they were sick people trying to get well. They just didn't know how because their brain was sick. And he explained to me that they had taken rats and made them into alcoholics. They're not normally alcoholic. And then injected a chemical called tetrahydroisoquinolin, which is what the addicts produce. That chemical, they mixed when they take the alcohol, the drug, the pill, the whatever it is, the drug that they take, that it mixes with something in their chemistry from the addictive genes that causes them to develop this chemical, tetrahydroisoquinolin, that those of us without the genes, no matter how much we drink or how long we drink, we can never develop that chemical. And it's that chemical that causes them to continue to use or use in spite of anything. If they love you, I have heard counselors who are addicts say that if they were using, just get out of their way. If you were their mother or father or whomever, They would mow you down to get to the drugs. And that's what this tetrahydroisoquinoline does. It's a drive that is stronger than any other drive that we have, stronger than hunger or thirst or sex or any of the other drives. It drives them to continue to use. One addictionologist told me, and he's an alcoholic, said that it was like committing suicide if he wasn't drinking. It was as though he was killing himself not to get the drugs that he needed. And so it helped me to be more compassionate and understanding and to realize that this is truly a disease and that I wanted to learn more about it. I go to AA meetings on a regular basis to hear their speakers because it puts all that head knowledge that I got from college into my heart. It helps me to understand, you know, when they say they never felt a part of, I understand that because I studied the attachment theory, which says that, you know, these addicts never did feel a part of, even though they had loving parents who loved them and supported them in everything that they did. They didn't feel that love, and that was because of the genes that they have. The attachment never affixes itself like it does in quote, normal people. But that by having a sponsor, that they can develop that attachment again, and then just like adults who can learn to read faster when they are adults, even though they have not learned as children, they also can build this attachment by having a sponsor and having the trust in them and begin to trust with them and work with their sponsor until they can have a decent relationship, which otherwise they cannot have. And that's why they tell them not to have a relationship in the first couple of years, because their brain is still getting adjusted. It's still normalizing itself. And so they can't carry on a normal relationship with anybody. I learned so much from them by going to the AA meetings and the CA meetings and the NA meetings and hearing them speak. It put all of those things that I had learned in college into place for me then. And I can remain more compassionate and understanding today because of that. So I thank God for this program. He has given me so much, so many blessings that I will continue in this program, as I said, no matter what happens to my addictive relatives, my loved ones. I remember that I could ask God for, I asked him for a tree, and he gave me a forest. I asked him for a flower, and he gave me a whole garden. I asked him for water, and he gave me an entire ocean. I asked him for a friend, and he gave me all of you. Thank you, and God bless.